So we've been talking about, and go ahead to our slide presentation if you would, Laura. I didn't warn them that we were going to be doing this, so it may take a little minute to get it up. So I'm calling this Super Sunday. Not because of the Super Bowl, but because I think God's going to do some marvelous things here today. And anticipating it, expecting it. But if you, as you're aware, from the passages that I've been preaching, and every sermon this year has had these outline, expectation, anticipation, participation, and realization. So we have to, oftentimes we have to participate in order to receive what God has for us. We have to participate with Him. Sometimes it is through proclamation, proclaiming what He has stated already, and we're proclaiming what He has stated. It's always trusting Him. It's always believing Him, and it's always obeying Him. If we don't participate with Him, we really can't expect Him to do what He said He would do, right? However, if we participate with Him, and if we're obedient to Him, and we're trusting Him, then we can expect to receive what He says we're going to receive. Today, so during the song service, the remainder of the song service, we're going to be praying for people who need healing. Okay, for one thing or another. And it could take quite a while. So here's what I want from you. If you are a leader in the church, if you have a gift of healing, I'm going to ask that you would come and pray over some of these who will be coming forward. And the rest of you, I want you to sing as if you're ushering in the presence of the Lord. Because it's the presence of the Lord that brings the healing. It's not me. It's not anyone in this church. It's the Lord who does the healing. Okay? We just want to participate with Him. We just want to be where He is and allow Him to do what He wants to do. But if we're not willing to participate, then we can't expect Him to do what He wants to do. As I was growing up and going to church, listening to message, and I went to church before I was born. And I've been in church the whole time from that, you know, every preschool and kindergarten or whatever they called it back then, children's services, you name it, I went to church. But in the church I grew up in, I never heard a message on healing. And now there was prayer for healing, but it was more like, well, Jennifer's sick and we just need to pray for her that she gets better kind of thing. Okay, but I never did hear a message on healing, and we didn't really follow Scripture as far as what James says about what we're supposed to do in order to help that process take place. I never saw miraculous healing take place until I moved to the Northwest. I was in the Bible Belt. Came to the Northwest, and when I was actually, I don't remember if we were living in Newburgh or Dundee at the time, and both of our children were sick. They had some respiratory issues. And so my dad was a preacher, seven children, and I think he made $200 a month. So I only remember going to the doctor, I think, twice in my life. I didn't know you're supposed to take kids to the doctor. Mm-hmm. I thought you just help them get over it, mm-hmm. You know. One time was whenever I broke my thumb fighting my brother. Another time when I had double pneumonia as a nine-month-old. That's the only times I remember going to the doctor. And so I didn't know you're supposed to take kids to the doctor. I thought you just kind of, you know, waited until it got better. And so I still don't like going to the doctor. So they were sick, and I was driving down the road. I don't remember if I was coming from work or going to work. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do I do about my children? What do I do about my children? And this passage of scripture in James chapter 5 came into my mind, and it settled in my heart. And this is what that passage says. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him, after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the land. And then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. See, I was familiar with this passage because even growing up, before I became a Christian, I was reading the Bible. And this passage of scripture, you know, I would read it, and it was like, well, that's interesting. That's interesting that new God tells us to do that, to pray for the sick, to have the elders pray for the sick, anointed them with oil. I thought that was interesting. But whenever, and this happened when I was 28 years old, this insight, this input from the Lord that I should take my children and have the elders of the church pray over them. Well, I did not attend a church that practiced that I had saw. But this was on a Wednesday, and the reason I know it was on a Wednesday is because we had prayer service that night. And when we got to prayer service, the pastor was speaking on James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So as soon as service was over, I went up to him and I said, would you have the elders pray for my children because they've got respiratory problems? And they prayed over my children, and the children were healed from that. Now, later on, Micah got some food allergies that affected him as well. But at that moment, I mean, and for a long time, there was no respiratory problems whatsoever. And that was my first encounter with the miraculous healing of the Lord. And so from that time, I know God does what he says. I know that when he tells us to do something and we follow him, that he's faithful to do what he says. So I want to break it down for you real quick. Scripture says, if you've got problems, pray. Right? That's a mm-hmm. good idea. Right? Mm-hmm. You've got problems, pray. If you're cheerful, sing songs, whistle, mm-hmm. praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you're sick, then you ask the elders to pray for you. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is it says in here to confess your sins one to another. That doesn't mean confess your sins to the whole congregation, unless you've sinned against the congregation, right? But it says, confess your sins one to another. That means find somebody you can trust, somebody that you can release what you know is maybe something that you've done. Because part of it is sometimes sin can be a root problem for the physical issues that you have. Not always, but it can be. And so here's what I'm asking, that we need to expect God to do what he says. We need to anticipate. We need to participate with him and then realize his word is true. Jenny has something to share. And after she shares, the worship team is going to continue to lead us in worship. But as they do, and as you usher in the Lord with your worship and your praise, then I'm going to set a chair here at the front. And if you need prayer for healing, then the chair is open for you. And so we will continue worshiping We will continue praising. We will continue praying. But also just want you to be comfortable coming to the front, and any elders, leaders, or those who have a gift, you feel like you have a gift of healing, then I want to invite you to come and pray as well for these individuals. Okay? So, Jenny.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jenny.
I'm Jenny Isle, if you don't know me. This is my husband, Bryce. If you haven't been around for a long time, you might not know that a couple years ago that I had breast cancer. And anger can be a root of those things. And I had that. I had anger from the past, and it caused me problems. It caused me sickness. I asked for prayer, and Pastor and Sandra and several people came over and prayed with me right before my chemo started. And when the doctors had said, "I'm sorry, Jenny, go enjoy your best life. We can't do anything for you." I was prayed over. A couple days later, the doctors got a hold of me and said, "I don't know how to explain your films, but we don't see any cancer in your bones. We're restarting your chemo." Yeah. So I went through all the treatment, but out of that, the steroids in my chemo dissolved my joints. So I've had one hip replaced because of it, because it completely collapsed in on itself. So recently, I'm getting ready for my next hip that had necrosis. It had dissolved quite a bit. And it's had films for, or CT scans, MRIs, that's what I mean by films. It's been followed for the 3 years as they decided which hip to do first, which was more important. They chose the right hip first, and so I'm ready for the second hip, and recently I'm getting ready, and I just walk through life with joy. Because I know where I'm going. So if it were cancer or surgery for my hip or whatever would take me, I'm full of joy because I know where I'm going. And I just walk through everything with God. And I had Pastor prayed over me this last week. And my husband prayed over me maybe the same day. And I just felt like something was going to be different. But I didn't know what exactly was going to be different. God didn't tell me what about what was happening with me was going to be different. So I waited, and I went to my pre-op appointment this last week with a friend. And the doctor, I don't know if he's a Christian. He sure had a lot of smiles on his face, if he was or he wasn't. He was full of joy. And he comes in and he says, "I'm having the hardest time trying to figure out how to tell somebody the best news." So he goes through an explanation of the timeline of my first hip, how the progression of it was, shows films of what it looked like, does all that, goes to the next set of films, which is my left hip, and shows me the films from 3 years ago on up to current. And I'm looking at it, and I know it's different. I say, "That is my film, right?" Because he's silent, and he's waiting for me to figure out for myself what's happening. He says, "That is your hip, and you are healed." Yeah, he said, I don't have an explanation for it, but I said, "I do." "I know." And he said, "We're canceling your surgery now, and we're going to give you a shot down in your hip. You can walk. Your bursitis is still going to be there because your gait is off from having a new hip and having the old hip. So you're always going to have bursitis, because that's just inflammation and they're rubbing around and whatever. But I feel like I participated with the Lord through it, just in trusting Him, just in walking forward and not knowing what is going to happen, what is going to be different, who's going to be involved, or however it's going to come together. I trusted Him and participated with Him just in trust and love and kindness, and I was good no matter what happens. But praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Hey, Jenny, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Father, we thank you and praise you for that which you have done. You have done a great work. And we speak to the presiders and say, you got to go too in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Psalm chapter 1. I'm not going to keep you long. Just want to leave you with some thoughts. Psalm chapter 1, we talked about this last week, and I told you I probably wouldn't get through it, and I didn't, and I'm not going to finish it today, but we will finish it one day. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Whatsoever he does will prosper. Whatsoever he does will prosper. I read that passage of scripture, and it reminds me when Cynthia and I lived in, we moved a lot. She said we moved 13 times in the first 12 years of marriage. I didn't keep count. She did. So we lived in Hood River for a while. Then we lived in Odell for a minute. And while we were there, of course, if you've been in that area, the orchards are just everywhere. And the trees during the fall, just before harvest time, the trees are so loaded with fruit that the farmers have to go out and prop the limbs up with 2x4s. To keep the limbs from breaking off. And when I think of that passage of scripture, as well as John chapter 15, I think of abundant fruit that is more than you can imagine. Scripture says in verse 3, and you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth its fruit in its season. Did you know that their fruit comes in seasons? Okay. It's not always, you won't always see the fruit, but it comes in seasons. And sometimes we get tired of waiting on the season. And we need to wait on the season because there's a season for the harvest. Don't give up. Don't quit because you don't see a harvest yet. Okay. You'll be like a tree that brings forth fruit in its season. But here's the thing. You've got to plant the tree before you can expect a harvest. There's a time for planting or sowing. There's a time for watching it grow, fertilizing it. Taking care of it, but then there's also a time for harvest. If you've been in a season of waiting, just keep waiting because the harvest is coming. Moses waited 40 years in the desert before he saw the harvest. So just keep waiting. Blessed is the man or a woman. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, say whatsoever, he or she does, will what? Man, I love that. But you can't get, I want to say wanging out. I guess that's a word. You can't get off track. You can't, you have, and when you do, you have to bring yourself back. Okay? Because sometimes there's a testing time, just like with the children of Israel as they were walking through the wilderness, there was a testing time. God says that he put them through that to test them, so that in that test, he would determine whether they were going to be faithful or not. The promise didn't come immediately. They had to learn how to walk it out before they could realize the promise that God gave them. And a lot of us, I think a lot of Christians in America, they just want God's blessings without doing the footwork and without participating with him. We want to be fruitful and we want to multiply, but we're not willing to stay in the vine. That's what John chapter 15 talks about. Psalm chapter 1 talks about fruit. John chapter 15 talks about fruit. Jesus said, abide in me. My words abide in you, and you will ask what you will, and it will be done. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. I think it's on the overhead. He said, you're already clean because of the word. I'm going to start with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So here's the deal. God is expecting us to be fruitful, right? He planted us. He called us as his own. He made you his children. He made me his children so that we could become fruitful. What if we became an orchard? Rather than one or two or three or six people in our congregation being fruitful, what if we became an orchard? And I think that's what the Lord has for us. I don't think it's just for a few people. I think it's for all of us. I think it's for all of us. But here's the deal. Did you know that you had to be connected to the vine in order to bear fruit? Did you know that an apple tree, the limb has to be connected to the trunk before it can be produced, before it can produce apples? Now, a limb, an apple tree limb, is not grunting and saying, man, I got to produce this. Apple, just got to, if I get a little bit better, I can produce this fruit. Ah! No, you won't. They're not going to do that, because all they have to do is stay connected to the tree. Right? That's all they have to do. And so what we need to do is stay connected to the tree. And if we stay connected to the tree, then the natural result is fruit bearing. I want you to stay connected. That moves into a spirit-filled life. It moves into abiding in the vine. Psalm 91 talks about those of you who stay under the shadow of the Almighty. It's all connected. God wants us to bear fruit. So I want to ask you in closing, what kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit are you producing? Are you producing any fruit? Father, I come before you today and I thank you for your word to us. I thank you for the lives that have been touched today through prayer. Lord, I'm excited and anxious to hear what you've done and are doing and because of the prayer time that we had today. Lord, thank you for moving in our midst. And Lord, again, we're just going to sing another song to you. And Lord, we're going to give this time to you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Mm-hmm. And Lord, if there's any changes that need to be made, I pray you would reveal that to us. so that we could come before you. The passage there in verse 4, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken unto you. Verse 4, I pray, O God, that we would be clean because of what you've done in our life and what you're doing. And Lord, again, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' holy name.